When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
In full cry here.
Welcome, listeners, to The Extra Inch. My name is Windy, and you join me today for a bonus episode with a special guest from the world of Fantasy Premier League. I have with me one half of FPL family. It's Sam. Welcome, Sam.
Hi, Windy. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Sam, as well as being a pretty much full-on celebrity in the world of FPL, you're also a Spurs fan, hence you're here with us. Tell us about you and your love of Spurs and where it came from.
So it's kind of in the blood, really. My mum is a die-hard Spurs fan. She's a season ticket holder in the South Stand, and she goes with my uncle every week, or every home game at least. And so it kind of came from her. It was either that or go with my dad's side of the family, who are Chelsea fans. But I wasn't that keen on that. My brother went that way, and I kind of went with my mum's loyalties and never looked back, really. It's been one of those things. As a child, one of my dad's friends was a policeman at Old White Hart Lane. So we used to go and sit in the police seats quite a lot, sort of back in the good old days of sort of Ledley King and those guys. So yeah, it's been nice because it's my local club as well, really. So being able to go regularly is always nice.
And you were telling me before we started that your other half, Lee, is a Liverpool fan, but you've managed to get an agreement where the kids are going to be Spurs fans.
That's right, yeah. So he's Liverpool, as you say, so it made for some interesting times during the Champions League final.
Oh god, yeah. I hadn't even thought of that.
It wasn't pleasant. I actually went to the new Tottenham Stadium to watch it on the Jumbotrons because I just did not want to be around him at that point. I just thought we might end up in divorce if we watch it in the same house. So I went there. But before we had the kids, we kind of sat down and had a chat about, you know, who were they going to support? Because it's quite a big deal, isn't it? You know, whose loyalties do they side with? And we ended up deciding that they would be Spurs because actually Lee's family are all Tottenham apart from him. He's this rogue Liverpool element within his family. So I often go to White Hart Lane with my brother-in-law. So it kind of makes sense for them to be Spurs. Plus, it's 25 minutes down the road from us to get to Spurs, whereas for us to go to Liverpool, it's like 4 hours. And I want the kids to grow up like I did, being able to go to the football regularly and enjoy kind of the atmosphere of the games live.
I massively feel your pain with the Champions League final thing. My other half, she's not into football at all, which suits me very well. But her family are from Liverpool and will support Liverpool. I have to say they were very nice about it. How was Lee post Champions League final? Was he a bit smug or was he quite kind?
No, he was actually really nice about it. I think in a normal situation, in a, you know, Champions League final, if either of our sides would have made it, we would have wanted the other one to have won it. So if, you know, if we weren't playing against them, and he's always had a bit of a soft spot for Spurs, given that all of his family are Spurs fans, and no, he was very, very humble with it. So that boded well. I bought a programme when I was at the stadium and kind of thought, I'll want that if we win. And then obviously when we lost, I came home and went, you can have this. So I didn't really want to keep it after that. But no, he was really good about it, to be fair.
Bless. And when did your love of Fantasy Premier League start?
So that was Lee's fault, actually. We've been together for a very, very long time now. And he used to play Fantasy League without me. And about kind of 13, 14 years ago, he said, why don't you play with me? You know, you know a lot about football, so get involved. At which point I was like, well, all right then. But I kind of never really took it that seriously, to be honest. It was one of those things that I would, like, on a Friday night, I'd go, I quite fancy bringing this one in. And it would be just, like, rogue, kind of out there decisions, very last minute. Never really paid attention to, like, the markets and price rises and anything like that. So, yeah, it started 13 years ago. And then 3 years ago, Lee said, you know, I'm fed up. We have these conversations every Friday night, just you and I sitting on the sofa. But actually, there's a massive community out there that are doing the same thing. So let's kind of make a recording of us talking about all things FPL, and see if people fancy watching it. And it's kind of grown from there, really.
They definitely did want to listen to you two talk FPL. You've got a really popular fan channel on YouTube now. And this season, you've both branched out as well. So you're helping out with the official FPL coverage via the podcast with James Richardson, which is amazing, but also their videos as well.
Yeah. So we started doing the official FPL show last season. So we were doing that sort of once a month last season. And then this season, we have upped that. So we're kind of doing it maybe like twice a month now. But we're also now appearing on their new YouTube show, FPL FYI, which goes out at the end of each week. So it's normally about Thursdays that goes out on the official Premier League YouTube channel. And like you say, we now do the official FPL podcast as well. So it's kind of grown beyond anything that we ever dreamed that it would, really, in reality.
How is that? It must be so surreal when you turn up to a studio and there's a genuine football legend there in James Richardson, who, I mean, I grew up watching him on Football Italia and, you know, I've listened to him ever since, basically. He's an amazing football voice. It must be very surreal.
It is. It's a really strange... the first time we met James, it was like, wow, okay, this is like proper football hero stuff, you know, listening to somebody that's been in the game for such a long time and has kind of got a real proper reputation in the football community. And it is strange every time we go down there, because there's always, or nearly always, an ex-footballer or a current footballer in the green room having done a show around the same time that we're in there. So we've met a lot of kind of famous footballers through doing this kind of stuff. Like, I met Tim Sherwood the other week, and we've met Dominic Mateo, lots of like really, really nice people. We met Simon Francis, the Bournemouth defender, a few months ago when he was off injured. So it's really strange, because you find yourself mixing in circles that we never dreamed kind of would happen, but they're all just so lovely, and you kind of forget that they're just genuinely, you know, normal people. They just happen to have really exciting jobs.
And I have to say, you're both very good on there, and you are kind of on there as the experts, and that is for a reason. You're very good at football, fantasy football. You're not just good at talking about it, but you're very good at playing it as well, aren't you?
Yeah, we I think if I'm really honest, the since we started the FPL family, that's kind of been, for me, the big driving force behind doing better at it. I was distinctly average at FPL, apart from one season. Lee and I had a bet probably about 9 years ago now on FPL, because he was like, you know, I'll bet you can't beat me. And I was like, I will. And it's the only season prior to us starting FPL family that I ever beat him. So we've got two cats now as a result of me beating him, because that was the bet. But he was always a lot better than me. And it was one of those things that I think, being a woman in the football community sort of 3 years ago, it's changed a lot even in 3 years. And there was a lot of, at the beginning, it was a bit like, well, if I'm going to be a woman and put myself out there as a, you know, somebody who knows something about football and FPL, I've got to be better at it than I currently am doing. So we take it quite seriously. It's still a lot of fun, and I think we've always said, if the fun ever goes out of it, that's when we'll stop doing this. But for now, it's really, really good fun. And yeah, we're actually all right at it.
It does seem like quite a joyful little community, I have to say. I'm not like fully embedded in this community, but when I dip my toes in the water and have a look or have a listen, all I see is positivity. Everyone's very supportive of one another's ventures, and that's really rare and really lovely. You've been on the Scoutcast a few times from Fantasy Football Scout.
Yeah, so we work quite heavily with Fantasy Football Scout now. We have a partnership with them. So Lee and I both make appearances on Scoutcast, and we also produce video content for them that goes out on their YouTube channel. So I make my own video every week, which is called Sam Says. It normally goes out on a Wednesday, and it's basically reflecting on three or four of the big games from the weekend, talking about them from an FPL point of view, and what the stats from that game would suggest we do with our FPL assets moving forwards. And then Lee and I also have one that we put out together, which goes out every Monday, which is called Sam versus Lee. And in that video, we pick three picks, a defender, a midfielder and a forward for the following game week, based on a theme. So this week's theme is teams that are playing away from home. So we've both had to pick some players that are playing away from home this weekend, and we see who wins each week.
Nice, nice. You obviously put a hell of a lot of time into this, and you've got, and you've got young children as well.
Yes.
Are you doing this like on top of day jobs?
So I used to be a secondary school teacher back before our children, and I gave that up when our youngest was born, because with two small children it was just too much, to be honest. So I gave that up, and FPL kind of started around our littlest was about one when we started doing the FPL family, and it's kind of taken over. So it has become, for me, it's become my job alongside being a stay-at-home mum. So I'm sort of here, there and everywhere, recording things, writing articles, and we write quite a bit for some Norwegian newspapers as well. So I'm kind of doing bits and pieces all over the place. Lee still has a full-time job that he fits this around, as well as being a dad and a husband as well. So he is majorly busy all the time. But it's one of those things that it's a nice hobby that we have, that you don't mind it taking up your time, because at the end of the day, it just involves us sitting around watching a lot of football, which is what we love most in the world. So it's great.
Yeah, you can't really go wrong with that, can you? It's perfect.
No.
And I've just got so much respect for how much content you are both able to produce with everything else you've got going on in your lives, because I know exactly what it's like. We do this as a hobby on the side. We all work full time. And it's tough. It's really tough to find the time, and it's tiring, and you get in from a busy day at work, and the last thing you really want to do is set up your mic and get everything ready and record. But we love it, don't we? It's so much fun, and it's the kind of the community it creates and the feedback you get which makes it all worthwhile.
It does, absolutely. And I think sometimes the football communities get a bit of stick for, you know, the negative sides of it that come out in the newspapers and in the press, but actually the FPL community does often bring together most of that football community, as and all the different kind of fan bases from all the different clubs, and that kind of, you're always going to have your loyalties to your own club, but you actually can see the positives in other people's as well, which actually is quite nice. It's quite a nice way to see the game, as well as kind of keeping your own loyalties to your individual team.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you about that. It's something that I've found troubling over the years. Do you let your love for Spurs impact on your FPL management?
So every time I'm on the podcast, James always says, you know, this Sam's here, she's Harry Kane's biggest fan. And when it comes to FPL, I potentially do. Harry Kane's always my first pick of when I'm doing my team every year. So there is potentially an element of bias that comes into it with Spurs. Although I will admit when I'm wrong about, you know, picking the wrong Spurs player, and that does happen sometimes. I do find it difficult sometimes to pick Arsenal players. Although I will do that if they're on good form. It just means that I just don't like to kind of, I don't want to be cheering for them to, you know, I don't like to have a Bamiyang, for example, because I don't really want them scoring goals. But there's that element to it that definitely comes into play. But I think most of the time I'm like, you know, you'll speak to my little one, who will say, you know, who do we want to score today, mummy? And I'm always like, oh, this one or that one. And he's like, but we want them to lose still, right? And I'm like, yes, that's right, we want them to score, but we also then want them to lose. So yeah,
you've taught them well. I think that's one of the biggest criticisms I hear of Fantasy Premier League, that it encourages you to cheer for players that you would normally be booing, and my answer to that is always that these are very separate things. So your love for your club is one thing, but you're also watching, like, from a fantasy football perspective, you're watching objectively and thinking kind of coldly about players, and not thinking they play for Arsenal so I want them to lose. You're thinking they play for Arsenal, but they're actually doing really well at the moment, so it makes sense for me to select them. Like a lot of the Spurs leagues you'll see will have a rule which is no Arsenal players allowed, and I'm like, well, I'm also competing in other leagues where that's not a rule, so I'm not going to be in that league because I might need an Arsenal player. Like, I haven't got any in my team at the moment, and actually I don't think I've had any all season. That's because Arsenal is shit at the moment. But generally, I mean, I wouldn't have an Arsenal player just because I'm a Spurs fan.
No, and I think so. Last season, I brought in Torreira for that game where he hit that bicycle kick, ridiculous goal, annoyedly immensely, because he was like, where have you pulled that one out of the bag from? But actually it came from just needing a cheap starting player. So I was like, well, look, Arsenal aren't on a bad run at the moment, the fixtures are okay, he's gonna start, oh, let's just take a punt on him, he's a cheap asset, and you know what, if he doesn't do anything, it doesn't matter. So there's elements like that to it as well. Like I don't have any hard and fast rules about who I'll own. I'll just own the players that have the best fixtures and are in the best form at that particular moment in time. But there will always be a Spurs player in my team. I can't disassociate that much. There has to be a Spurs player in there somewhere.
Nice. Okay, so you mentioned fixtures there and you mentioned form. What are your main pieces of advice for FPL? I mean, bearing in mind that some people listening will not even play the game, but others will be kind of casual players. So what would you say are the best bits of advice for casual?
I think the thing that has made a massive difference to me over the years is when I started to look at the price changes, because actually at the start of the season, obviously everybody has a set price. And it's obviously just working out who's going to, you know, be good at the price point that they are and making sure that you're on them, because they all go up in value as more people buy into them. So, for example, Lundstrom has gone up now 1.2 million, which is absolutely enormous in terms of the amount of transfers in he's had. And he is now so heavily owned that if you don't own him and he does something, it has a massive impact on your ability to kind of climb up the overall ranks. So for me, it's watching the price rises that's made a big difference. And there's lots of apps out there that will do that for you and will tell you when players are about to hit a price rise or hit a price drop, so you can protect and gain team value, which will allow you to have the better players over the course of the season.
So are you someone that will get a player in like at the start of the week just to avoid a price drop? Price rise, even though they might then get injured in training?
So I will do it if I have to. So if it's a player that I really want and I'm going to be priced out if I don't do it, then I will. I have been known to do it early in the week. But I don't like to do it on like European weeks, because you just never know. Normally it's because I'm bringing in a player that's playing in European football, and I don't like to bring in a player just in case they get injured in the midweek fixtures. But I never worry too much about training. It's kind of, I'll watch the price rises. I have a rule that I won't ever make any decisions on deadline day. So from, if it's a Saturday deadline, Friday night before I go to bed, that's it. No more changes after that, because it always goes badly for me. Whatever I do on the day of the games, it's just a disaster. So I don't like to leave it to the last minute, but I will leave it as late as the price rises will enable me to.
Nice. And if I talk briefly about this season in FPL, actually, we should have recorded a few days ago, but I had to cancel because I wasn't feeling well. And I really wish we had recorded then, because I was in the top 10k at that point.
Nice.
And I was feeling quite smug. Now I've had a terrible game week and I've plummeted 30,000 places so far. The game week's not over yet. I mean, generally, I'm not a great fantasy player. I've had a couple of top 20k finishes, but generally, I'm nowhere. This season it's going well, and I think the thing I've learned this year, or the thing I've accepted, is just stop making transfers. It's that was always my biggest temptation, was to try and make too many changes to follow the trends, and actually just sticking with your team can work out better in the long term. And my mistake this week was that I bought in Heung-min Son for Kevin De Bruyne. I really wanted an extra Spurs midfielder, because we've been doing pretty well and we've been scoring goals, and De Bruyne was the only one I could feasibly bring him in for, and he'd struggled for a couple of game week, and then he absolutely punished me with his performance against Arsenal, where he was just outstanding, and I think he got 19 points or something, whereas Son got 2. So very disappointing. How are you getting on this year?
So I'm having a bit of a roller coaster. I think I'm sort of in the top 10k, then out the top 10k, and then back in again. It's been one of those seasons where I think this year there's a lot less what we call dead teams. So teams that haven't been changed since game week one.
Right,
So for me, there seems to be a lot of teams that are, a lot more teams this year that are still functioning. And that means that actually the number of points between each place is minimal. So there's like, at the moment, I'm about 17k. So I've got a nice green arrow this game week because I had a terrible week last week. But there's only about, I think it's 1 point between me and 1500 places above me. So it's very, very close, and the slightest little thing. So I've got Zaha playing in the Palace game, which we haven't seen yet. If he does anything, then that'll probably see a really nice green arrow up, probably around the 13, 14k mark, something like that. So yeah, it's really, really close. And it's really frustrating because I kind of feel like I spend 3 or 4 weeks building up and get back into sort of, at one point I was at 3K and I was really happy with that. And then Aubameyang punished me because he got 2 goals that game week and it was a Monday night game and it just sent me back right down again. And you kind of think, oh, it's frustrating, but yeah, it's what we love about it.
And do you feel that it affects your mood, or do you feel that the fact that you talk about it so regularly kind of helps get it out your system?
Yeah, I don't find I get that grumpy about FPL anymore. I think I used to, because I used to feel a lot more pressure when we first started doing FPL Family. I think I felt a lot more pressure to do well at it, and therefore if I had a bad game week I'd kind of be a bit like, oh god, like it's all gone wrong, people are going to say what is she doing, you know, blah blah blah. But actually now I think I just kind of make my own decisions. I tend to be a gut feeling FPL manager. If it feels like the right thing to do, I'll do it, even if it's not really following trend. So I went with Dele when I bought in a Spurs midfielder. I went Dele over Son, even though everyone was saying, you know, why aren't you getting Son? It just felt like the right thing to do to own Dele. I kept saying, even before we had Mourinho start, I kept saying, I think Dele's going to go on a run. I do really think that he's the Spurs asset to own. And actually, he has been, if you look at him over that period of time since Mourinho's arrived. But I do now think, I think you're set up quite well having the Spurs double up, because the fixtures over Christmas are really nice. And I can see those two doing really well together in the midfield. So
thank you for making me feel better. I needed that. I've been miserable today. I've got a friend at work. I've got a work league, actually, but there's a friend who's an Arsenal fan. And he's hot on my tail in our league. And I'm just keeping an eye on him. And I saw him today and I didn't want to broach the FPL subject because he caught up like 40 points a minute.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
We need to talk about Spurs as well, don't we? It's been a traumatic season. I suppose the first thing to say is, how do you feel about how things have gone? Were you poch in or poch out by the end?
Oh, so I really loved Pochettino. I had a real... I was really upset, actually, when he got fired. I think I said to Lee, I remember the night he went, I was really upset about it for about half an hour. I was like, please don't speak to me. Just leave me to just leave me to brood over it for a little while. And then actually, more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know, there's been a hell of a lot of whisperings and rumours and stuff about, you know, what life has been like at Spurs in the last 6 months and, you know, training grounds and all of that kind of stuff and Poch's relationship with the players. And I remember saying to Lee, do you know what? Maybe actually after 5 years, I do feel like we've stagnated a little bit, and I do feel like change could be good. It just depends who that change is. But also knowing Levy, as we all do, so well these days, it was like he's not going to have sacked the manager without having a plan for somebody to come in straight away. It was too funny a time for it to have happened. And then when it was Mourinho, I was like, oh, I'm not sure how I feel about this at all. Because obviously the other half of my family are Chelsea. And he did very well for them. But having watched him at Manchester United and his slight arrogance, I just was like, I'm not sure how that's going to fit with the Spurs, the way that we are as a fan base and as a team. I just wasn't sure that Mourinho was the right man. But at the moment, he seems to be proving me wrong, which is always nice.
He's certainly saying all the right things, isn't he?
Yeah, he's gone from being this kind of really arrogant guy who you know, rubs everyone up the wrong way to somebody that seems to be more thoughtful about what he's saying. We did an appearance with Jolyon Lescott on the FPL show a few weeks ago, and we were talking to him in the green room. He asked who we supported, and he was talking about Spurs, and I said about how I feel like Mourinho is different somehow in the last sort of since he's been at Spurs. He was saying, yeah, he's had like been talking a lot about mental health of players and how to breed good mental health in players and what you should say to, you know, encourage that. And I actually think you can see that. And now he said that to me and listening to Mourinho in interviews, you think, yeah, actually, I can see that change in you. And I can hear you saying things that you would never have said in your Man United days or in your Chelsea days.
So Lescott had heard that Mourinho was doing work on players' mental health?
Yeah, on like how he can encourage it to be better and how he can kind of deal wow. with people differently. And I think, you know, if you even think back to that situation with Eric Dier where he took him off on the 28th minute, like that could have had a massive impact on Dier and on his performances moving forward. But actually Mourinho came out at the end of the game, didn't he, and was talking about how it wasn't about Eric, it was about the team and we just needed to change because it was all going badly wrong. And you think, actually, it's interesting that you've done that because you could easily have just come out and gone, no, look how wonderful I am. I pulled off a weak link and the team suddenly improved. But it was not about, it wasn't about him. It was about the team and it was about protecting Dier as well. And I kind of liked that. I thought that was not really very Mourinho or not the Mourinho of the past. So maybe he's fooled me, but it does feel like we've got a bit of a different Mourinho now.
That's such a good point about the Dier thing. And I remember we spoke about that on our podcast after that had happened. And, I mean, it became even more interesting now after the Duncan Ferguson and Moise Kean thing yesterday.
Yes.
But the thing about the Dier sub was everything about it was perfect. Dier came off and didn't make a single bit of fuss. There was no kind of daggers. He just got off the pitch, shook Mourinho's hand, whatever, sat down, no fuss. Him coming off changed the game in our favour. So it was totally the right decision. Mourinho was justified in doing it. And then the post-match stuff was handled so expertly by Mourinho. Like he bigged up Dier and said this wasn't about Eric Dier, it was about what the team needed at the time. I think Eric Dier is a really good player, and like he said the way he handled the situation was a team man, a consummate professional.
Yeah,
and so
absolutely.
Actually there was no lose from that. Mourinho was so expert in that situation, and I was really surprised, and I shouldn't be surprised because he's done it for years. He knows what he's doing. He's not an idiot. It's just that we'd become so accustomed to his kind of moody, self-centred flexion tactics at United.
Yeah.
You kind of forget how wonderful he was in previous roles. And I've just been so pleasantly surprised by his kind of new attitude towards players.
And it's really interesting because, you know, he's also encouraging kind of this community at Spurs that we hadn't really seen under Poch so much in the latter part of his reign. So one of my mum's friends, her son is one of the chief ball boys at Spurs. And so he got invited to go for lunch with the team before the Burnley game, at the last game at home. And it was really interesting listening to what he had to say, because he was talking about how, you know, there's a bit of a hierarchy on the tables at pre-match and, you know, who sits where and the team that are going to play and, you know, the subs and all of that kind of stuff. And apparently they saved a seat for him between Son and Kane, and he sat there between them, and Mourinho went and made a big fuss about him. Aww. And Lucas Moura gave him his kit at the end of the game. But it was Mourinho was very much kind of, he's trying to create this community where the ball boys are part of the team, and they kind of, it just feels like he's trying to make a bit more of a family down there. And it felt like that was what was broken towards the end of Poch's reign. It didn't feel like that they were a community and that they were a family. It felt like they were all just individual players who were either at the end of their contracts and looking to go somewhere else, or players that were, you know, like Kane, who were born and raised and are probably going to be there till the end. But that they were individuals. Whereas now it does feel very much like Mourinho is trying to bring them all back together again, which can only bode well, and it's boded well so far. You know, we're in a lot better position now than we were a few weeks back.
Absolutely. It's really fascinating to hear you say that, and thank you for relaying that story, because it's, we've obviously seen the external stuff with the ball boys, like his celebrating with the ball boy, and that particular kid got invited to dinner the following week and to take it to lead out the team. But it's nice that he's kind of carried that on. That's a really nice touch and quite a simple thing to do, but yeah, something that actually means a lot to people.
Absolutely. They're all doing it now. So every home match, one of the ball boys will go for lunch with the players, and that's really nice. I think that's a really nice thing that he's brought to the club.
Amazing. Okay, so we had a couple of listener questions for about Fantasy Premier League.
Okay.
First one is from Newman, who says, who's a player you rate massively but who doesn't show up on the FPL score sheet? And similarly, who's a player who is an FPL stud but you don't think is that great of an actual footballer? So if we start with the one that you rate but doesn't turn up in FPL, who is there someone that stands out?
So from a Spurs point of view, my favourite Spurs player is Toby. I think Toby is an absolute hero. But actually from an FPL point of view, in the last few years, he's kind of gone really massively under the radar because Spurs haven't really been keeping clean sheets. And he's under the Poch kind of play. He's been sitting obviously in defence, and he's not really got involved in the attacking play. These new long balls over that have come in since Mourinho might change that, and we might see him appearing on the team sheet more. But I think from an FPL point of view, he's been really, he's underrated in terms of how good he is, because it doesn't relate in terms of FPL scores.
He's someone I've got my eye on, actually, over Christmas.
Yeah, me too.
He's an interesting price point. And also, like you say, those long balls have been quite profitable so far. And if we can keep those up, then I'd be really tempted to draft him. And the only thing is, I've already got two Spurs players now. And having three, and then if we didn't maintain this really good form, I'd be a bit concerned to have three Spurs players in my team.
I think the good thing about Spurs players at the moment is the price points that they're at. Because if for any reason Dele or Son or Toby, if you go that way, don't perform, there's so many other players that you can move to fairly easily. It always worries me a little bit when I go for a really cheap player, because actually moving to somebody else is a challenge then. It might take me a couple of transfers to get the money to do that. Whereas to downgrade or, you know, change from Dele or change from Toby, it's fairly easy.
That's a really good point and a good bit of advice as well. So two other players that I obviously rate highly but don't show up in FPL are Fernandinho and Kante. I feel like good defensive midfielders just aren't valued in the game. They tend to be low priced, and basically most of the good FPL players just don't bother with them. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so, because there are, within their teams, they are so important in how their teams function. But yeah, actually there's probably better players that you could own from an FPL point of view. I think, you know, Kante in particular is so, so important in the way that Chelsea team work, that but from an FPL point of view, it just doesn't correlate into points.
And so how about the flip side? The person that's an FPL stud but you don't think is that great, technically.
So this one's more difficult, because a lot of the, you know, the really good FPL assets are there for a reason. I don't know. I tend to find that, like, the expensive, like, I'm yet to be impressed by, and I probably, this is going to be my Spurs bias coming out, but I'm yet to be impressed by Pepe at Arsenal. I think he's so expensive in the game, and I'm not seeing anywhere near enough from him that would suggest that he's worth all those FPL pounds to own him.
Good shout. And I'll put a shout out there for Lindstrom as well, who's been a complete hero in FPL terms. And don't get me wrong, he's a handy player for Sheffield United, but he's nowhere near as good as he is in FPL. And that's because they made a mistake in listing him as a defender when he's actually basically an attacking midfielder, the way he's played. Does that happen often? Do you get many players who are classified incorrect?
Not that often. They're normally fairly good at getting them in the right places, but I think they are, very occasionally there's a player that the likes of Lundstrom who becomes an FPL gift. It's just somebody that you have to own because they're out of position and they do wonderful things for you. But not very often. We don't get them that often.
So you've got to take advantage when they come along.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
And we have another question from Planet FPL Pod, who says, Harry Kane for Christmas?
Oh, of course, always. I think, so I was disappointed in myself, really, because I've owned Harry Kane since the beginning of the season. I think he was 11 million when the game launched, and that was the cheapest he'd been in, well, pretty much forever, since he was a really good Spurs asset anyway. And so I owned him, I held him for all that time. And then just before the Burnley game, after the Manchester United game, I was like, do you know what? He's very expensive. He's not really doing as well as he should be when you compare him to the Spurs midfield. So I took him out and replaced him, did a double swap and got Dele instead. And then he punished me with a brace and an assist in that game. And I was there at the time. I was in the South Stand going, oh, for God's sake, Harry, why now? This is a nightmare. And I'm willing Dele to just score a goal. But, you know, it is what it is. We'll take a 5-0 win and I'll take the two assists that Dele got me. But I still have my first wild card intact, and I'm planning to play that just before game week 19. So at that point, I'll be bringing Kane back for Christmas. Yeah, absolutely.
Nice. So his fixtures are Chelsea and Brighton at home, Norwich and Southampton away, and then Liverpool at home. They're not bad fixtures, are they?
No, absolutely. And we're taking our little boy to the Brighton game on Boxing Day. It'll be his first Spurs match. And I always have a rule that if I'm going to Spurs, I always captain, or if I'm going to any match, actually, I always captain a player I'm going to watch. I just think it adds a whole nother dimension to the excitement of the game. Yeah. So I really want to have a captain's armband on Kane for that Brighton game. So I probably won't have him for Chelsea, unfortunately, because I actually think he could do quite well in that Chelsea game. But I will have Dele, and then I'll have the both of them for Boxing Day.
So we want a Harry Kane hat-trick on Boxing Day for your fancy team and also your little boy's first game at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Oh, for sure.
What have you made of Kane so far this season? There's been a lot of criticism just generally about his play. Some people have said he's finished. Some people have said that injuries have caught up with him. Some people have said he's not playing far forward enough. What have you made of his appearances that you've seen?
So I think he was played wrongly by Poch in the beginning part of this season. I think Poch had the team playing just in a formation that wasn't working, and it was meaning that he was getting increasingly frustrated and dropping deeper in order to get involved in the play, really. Because Kane isn't one of those players that's happy to just, you know, sit around and wait for the ball to come to him. He'll go out there and get it if it's not working for him. And so I think that did mean that he was sitting a lot deeper. If you look at the heat maps for Kane since Mourinho's come in, he does still drop deep occasionally, but it tends to be towards the end of the games where we've been kind of giving away leads. And, you know, conceding kind of later on, and then he drops back to kind of help with the defence. But up until the sort of 70th minute, he's been a lot more attacking in the last few weeks. And I still think that he'll be in there or thereabouts with the Golden Boot at the end of the season. He is just one of those kind of players that once he gets into a run of form, there'll be no stopping him. And I think the way that Dele and Son and Lucas Moura are playing behind him will only benefit Kane over the course of the rest of this season.
I fully agree with everything you said there, Sam. I think you're spot on, and I share your optimism for Kane getting back to what he once was. Other than Spurs, over the Christmas period, are there any other teams that you're keeping an eye on? I mean, personally, I quite like the look of Man United's fixtures, and I'm trying to find a way to either bring Rashford in or possibly even bring Greenwood back into my team. What are you thinking over Christmas?
Yeah, so the Manchester United fixtures are lovely over Christmas, and I think, you know, Rashford or Martial makes a lot of sense over that period. There's also some decent fixtures for the likes of Burnley. Now, it's kind of tough to get on board with Burnley because it's really kind of Chris Wood or nobody if you want to go that way. And then it depends on how you're set up in terms of the structure of your team, if you've got the space to fit him in. Aston Villa's fixtures are lovely, but it's really only Grealish that you would potentially want to go to. I own the keeper. I have Heaton as one of my rotating keepers. So he looks a good bet for the next few weeks too. Other than that, Palace have great fixtures, but they're just so inconsistent. They seem to be quite good at the back. So the likes of Martin Kelly looks like a good pick, particularly with the rest of their defence seemingly injured, or Gaeta if you want to go for a goalkeeper from them. Ayan Zahar at the moment, and with his fixtures the way they are, he should have been a great pick for the last couple of weeks, but he's been dreadful. So I'm really kind of keeping an eye on him because he could easily make way and be my kind of way into getting another Spurs midfielder.
Nice. Some fabulous tips there. Sam, thank you so much for dropping so much Fantasy Premier League knowledge for our listeners. If people want to kind of keep in touch with what you and Lee are up to, where can people follow you? What are the best places to kind of watch your content?
So we have our own YouTube channel. So if you search FPL Family on YouTube, we'll pop up. So we do a live stream every Sunday evening at 8 o'clock, British time, obviously. We also have a Twitter handle. So we're at FPL Family on Twitter, at FPL Family on Instagram. And you'll find videos from us, as I said, on the Fantasy Football Scout YouTube channel as well. So if you want to give them a search too.
Nice. And I highly recommend Sam and Lee's videos. They're just, as I said earlier, joyful is the only word. They're lovely. Really,
oh,
great content. And so I have to say again, I admire you both so much for how much content you are managing to get out there. It's wonderful.
It's all good fun.
You've been listening to The Extra Inch. Thanks to Nathan A. Clark for production. Thanks to Bardi for being Italian. Thanks to Adam Gardner for the artwork. Thanks to David Lindner for our intro music. You can find him on Twitter at Davey Shambles and his SoundCloud, D. Lindner. Do check him out. He's great. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at The Extra Inch. Email us via podcast@theextrainch.co.uk and subscribe via your usual podcast platforms. And if you do enjoy the podcast, consider leaving us a rating and review. That would really help.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.